Now your host, Jim Dearman.
Many people today are seeking what they call the good life. How is the good life defined? Someone has said a good description of modern living is a senseless whirl which has been spelled in three words: hurry, worry, bury. Well, tragically, that's the way many seem to be living their lives, in a hurry and a lot of worry, and then before they know it, life is ended. Today we're going to talk about five essentials for the truly good life. There's a key verse of Scripture that gives us insight into what really the good life is all about. It's from the pen of the inspired Apostle Paul in Philippians chapter 1, verse 21, where Paul wrote, "For to me to live is Christ, and to die is gain." For to me to live is Christ. And that's what living is really all about. But let's think for a few moments together about five essentials for a life worth living. In the first place, we must have a self fit to live with. A self fit to live with. The poet wrote, "I have to live with myself, and so I want to be fit for myself to know. I want to be able, as days go by, always to look myself in the eye. I don't want to stand with the setting sun and hate myself for the things I've done. I want to go out with my head erect. I want to deserve all men's respect. But here, in the struggle for fame and wealth, I want to be able to like myself. I don't want to look at myself and know that I'm a bluster and bluff and empty show. I can never hide myself from me. I see what others may never see. I know what others may never know. I can never fool myself. And so, whatever happens, I want to be self-respecting and conscience-free." Those are good thoughts, aren't they? And speaking of thoughts, to have a self fit to live with, we need to guard our thoughts. We need to gird up the loins of our minds. Reminds us of what Peter wrote in 1 Peter chapter 1, in verse 13. There he wrote, "Therefore gird up the loins of your mind, be sober, and rest your hope fully upon the grace that is to be brought to you at the revelation of Jesus Christ." And so to have a self fit to live with, we need to guard our thoughts. Gird up the loins of our mind, as Peter wrote. Something else we need to do. We do not need to grieve over talents that we do not have. You know, we have to make peace with our limitations. The parable of the talents in Matthew 25, verses 14 through 30, point out that there are differing talents among individuals. But the point of the parable is that we are charged with the responsibility to use the talent that God has given us, to develop it and to increase that talent, to use the talent God has given us to the fullest extent of our ability. Now, along those same lines, we should not be jealous of the talents of others. It is something to guard against, isn't it? Jealousy in various respects. And when we realize that there are others who are more talented than we are, then that should not spark any jealousy or envy in our minds. In fact, Galatians 5, 19 through 21 makes clear that the works of the flesh are evident, which are adultery, fornication, uncleanness, licentiousness, idolatry, sorcery, hatred, contentions, jealousies, there it is, outbursts of wrath, selfish ambitions, dissensions, heresies, envy, murders, drunkenness, revelries, and the like. Paul goes on to say, "Of which I tell you beforehand, just as I also told you in time past, that those who practice such things will not inherit the kingdom of God." And so, we must guard against the green monster, as it is called. And you know, to live with ourselves, we should not take ourselves too seriously. That is, we need to be able to laugh at ourselves when that's appropriate to do so. We also need to realize the world will go on without us. Yes, we need to contribute what we can, but realize that this world will go on without us. It's been said a man can stand a lot as long as he can stand himself. And so the first of the five essentials for a life worth living is that we must have a self fit to live with. But secondly, we must have a faith fit to live by. Oh, how important this is. Having a faith that is fit to live by. In 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 7, Paul simply states, "For we walk by faith, not by sight." And this is true in every aspect of life. It's been said, "Bury your faith and your life will be a cemetery." Bury your faith and your life will be a cemetery. Our faith, of course, must be in God. And it comes through the Word. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God, Romans 10, verse 17. And it must be a faith that is at work at all times. Galatians 5 and verse 6, the Apostle Paul wrote that in Christ Jesus neither circumcision nor uncircumcision avails anything, but faith that works by love, a working faith motivated by love. Of course, our faith in God must include our faith in Jesus Christ as the only begotten Son of God. But that second essential for a life worth living is to have a faith fit to live by. A self fit to live with, a faith fit to live by. And now thirdly, we must have a purpose fit to live for. A rich man once said, "I have everything to live with and nothing to live for." Remember Solomon's conclusion in Ecclesiastes 12:13? Here's the conclusion of the whole matter. He said, "Fear God and keep His commandments, for this is the whole duty," or the whole of man. This is his whole. This is everything man is about, to fear God and keep His commandments. 1 Corinthians 10:31 reminds us that we are to do all to the glory of God. As Jesus Christ lived on this earth, His sole purpose was to glorify God and to finish the work that God had given Him to do. And near the end of His earthly life, in John 17, verse 4, in the prayer to the Father, He stated, "I have glorified You on the earth. I have finished the work which You have given Me to do." I have glorified You. I have finished the work which You have given Me to do. It's interesting that in John chapter 21, after the resurrection of Christ and before His ascension, He spoke some very sobering words to Peter, one of the apostles. He said to him in John 21, 18 and 19, "Most assuredly I say to you, when you were younger, you girded yourself and walked where you wished, but when you are old, you will stretch out your hands and another will gird you and carry you where you do not wish." Now then, here's the comment in verse 9 on the Lord's words. "This He spoke, signifying by what death He would glorify God. And when He had spoken this, He said to him, 'Follow Me.'" You see, Jesus was referring to the fact that Peter would die for the Lord. That his being a follower of Christ would bring about his death, but that death would glorify God. That's our whole purpose for living. How tragic it is that the vast majority of those living in the world today do not understand or appreciate their purpose in life. It is to glorify God. And we need to spend our lives influencing others to glorify God. Jesus in the Sermon on the Mount said that we are to let our light so shine before men that they may see our good works and glorify the Father who is in heaven. We're to live in such a way as to be a light to the world, an influence that will cause others to obey the gospel of Jesus Christ and then become lights themselves. Oh, how important that is. One of the five essentials for a life worth living. The third one, we must have a purpose fit to live for. Fourthly, we must have a company fit to live in. Oh, how important our companions are. Oh, how important the environment is in which we place ourselves. We must guard that so very, very carefully. In 1 Corinthians, the Apostle Paul makes it clear that evil companionships corrupt good morals. And so we need to appreciate the fact that indeed we can conduct ourselves in such a way, put ourselves in such a situation as to be surrounded by the wrong kind of companions and be influenced unfavorably, negatively by them. We need to be that light we just talked about. We need to be doing the influencing, not being influenced negatively by others. And so do not be deceived. Evil companionships do indeed corrupt good habits, as the New King James says there in 1 Corinthians 15, verse 33. We're to consider one another, the Hebrews writer says in Hebrews 10:24, to provoke or to stir up love and good works. That's what we need to be doing, be in the company of those who are stirring up others to love God and each other and their fellow man, to love Christ and to serve Christ. And so be careful about your associates. That's the fourth essential for a life worth living. And finally, that fifth essential for a life worth living, we must have a hope fit to look toward. A hope or a goal fit to look toward. You see, it's not a question of where you have been or where you are now. It's where you are going. Where are you going? Hebrews 11, 8 through 10 speaks of Abraham, who waited for the city. He looked for that city which has foundations, whose builder and maker is God. He looked for it. He hoped for that city. When hope is alive, the night is less dark, the solitude less deep, the fear less acute. Oh, how true that is. Hopelessness is a terrible thought, isn't it? But hope is a wonderful thought. And so, to live the kind of life that God would have us live, we're to live for Christ. That gets us back to Philippians 1:21. It's better to live for Christ than to wish you had. You can make a good living, yet live a poor life, if that life is lived without Christ.